Welcome, welcome. I am here with Maestro Joseph Choi.
Good afternoon, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Is that a good thing to call you? I know your students call you Maestro.
There are two different thoughts here. Typically in a school setting, Mr. Choi is fine, but I work at the Highland View Academy, where my brother is also Mr. Choi. Separate between the Mr. Choi. When I arrived on campus, students start calling me Maestro already, and I asked them what happened. And they said that Mr. Choi had agreed that was probably a better way. And then I also had a couple of parents tell me, who do you think you are? You Master? And I said, no, Maestro. The word Maestro means conductor in Italian, not a master.
Now you are, I mean, I have a whole page of biographical information here, but it would be better if you kind of told it to us from the beginning. What made you, like, when was the very first inkling that you had, you loved music from your childhood?
I really don't know. I mean, I started singing a lot in church, you know, Sabbath school. My father was a pastor. He's now retired. I'm the youngest in my family, so I have an older brother and older sister who were both musical, played piano, and they were both taking piano lessons. One day I asked my parents and I said, how come I'm not taking piano lessons? And they said, oh, we didn't know it. You want to take piano lessons. So I thought that was what I was supposed to do. So at the age of 10, I started taking piano lessons. In my opinion, I think that was probably late, starting piano at 10, because I found myself not really good enough to be, you know, world-class musician, but then I was sort of mediocre. I knew growing up that I seen a lot of students a lot better than I was at my age. I don't know what happened, but quickly I got interested in trumpet. Something about Second Coming and hearing trumpet being played, Jesus is coming again, and I just thought, hey, trumpet sounds right. But then when I quickly joined band, trumpet wasn't the thing I wanted to do because everybody played, everybody worked hard, but only one guy turned around and took the bow. So I was like, wow, this is not right. I want to be that kind of guy who turns around and takes the bow for the whole group. Mm-hmm. So I think it was around eighth grade I decided I wanted to be a conductor.
And your journey through conducting is really phenomenal. I don't know if you can, you know, sum it up in about 5 minutes.
Sure. My interest started in about eighth grade. I went to the library, read a bunch of conducting technique, conducting gestures, read about conductors, went to a lot of concerts. It was really my sophomore year in high school. I started taking conducting lessons with a youth orchestra conductor. My high school teacher gave me lots of books about different conducting. I started having some opportunities to conduct school ensembles during rehearsals. My junior year, my school band director went on triple bypass surgery. And we had a substitute for a whole year. And about 2-3 months, we were doing nothing in class. Finally, a couple of my friends realized that I was taking conducting lessons, and we went to talk with the principal. Then he said, okay, since the sub is there, you guys can go ahead and do your work. And we end up playing for the Christmas concert. Teacher was there. It just seemed like that was something that I really wanted to do, enjoy doing. So just kept going on from there, went to college, studied conducting. It's just so many things happened from there.
And you worked with many renowned conductors at this point.
I studied with Otto Werner Mueller, who is retired professor from Juilliard, Curtis Institute of Music. Kirk Trevor, who is very famous conductor, once associate conductor with the Dallas Symphony, conductor of Knoxville Symphony, world-renowned conducting teacher all around, studied with Sung Ye, who is Chinese conductor, South Bend Symphony, many different conducting professors around the world. But each different experiences helped me shape, because as you look at the apple, you look at only one side of the apple. Mm-hmm. Same thing with conducting. Different teachers might tell you how to do different things, but when you start putting all those different teachers' ideas, then you start looking at your own conducting and realize, mm-hmm. oh, maybe I could do this way or that way, I could shape this way. And you start generating your own ideas about conducting that kind of helps you mold as a musician and conductor.
Now, recently you had something that I would call a capstone experience. Can you share that with us?
Sure. October 4, 2015, I had a chance to guest conduct at Carnegie Hall. It was an event that a friend of mine named Nerve Altino, he is a pianist from New York City. We had gone to college together, and out of the blue, he called me on my cell phone. It's a lot easier to find people's phone number these days because,
yes.
you know, sometimes it's listed on Facebook or your own website. And he said that he was putting a concert together at Carnegie Hall. And so the more we talked about it, I understood the reason why he was calling, because he was looking for a conductor who could conduct choir and orchestra at the mm-hmm. same time. And so this was a concert involving two choirs, one from New York and one from Alabama. And then there was also a 7-piece orchestra, mostly musicians from Manhattan School of Music, and two solo piano plus a couple of vocalists. So it was more than 200 people on stage, which was an amazing experience.
Yeah, so when you, that, I kind of get the chills just thinking of that first rehearsal where you step up in front of all of those people. How do you prepare for that moment?
Well, many guest conducting opportunities that I was offered, some actually materialized, some did not materialize. So with this concert, I was kind of approaching carefully
mm-hmm.
because until you were actually driving or heading towards the airport,
that's right.
You know, doesn't mean it's really going to happen. So when I first got the rehearsal schedule, when I got the order of a concert, and then when I started getting the music, and I was beginning to think, well, I guess it's really going to happen, because the major portion of this concert was Better Hymn of Republic. And generally, we think about Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, mm-hmm. which is about 2-3 minutes long. But this, it was a different piece because it involved large choir, two solo piano, another vocalist. But it was really like a symphony-size piece. Starting out with just orchestra, starting out with one single voice, coming in with the choirs that sounded like from the distance. It's just, I don't know, it sounded to me, it was like a whole epiphany of Second Coming, mm-hmm. in a way, not just Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So it was a brand new piece for all of us, and I didn't have any recording to study the music. Mm. I just had to learn the music. And so first rehearsal, when we all came together, it was really chaotic.
Well, that's the truth.
Everybody had a different idea of the piece. Everybody had a different speed that they had practiced.
Mm-hmm.
It really took 2-3 rehearsals for everybody to really understand how the piece went.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I go through rehearsals, I have my own ideas. This concert preparation was totally different because the composer was sitting on the piano, and anything that he didn't like, he would stop the music. And so he would tell me what needed to be corrected, and then I needed to tell the orchestra mm-hmm. what we needed to do. So it was different kind of concert preparation. At some point, you know, I almost had to hold my anger or temper just because mm-hmm. he kept stopping so much
mm-hmm.
that we were losing a lot of rehearsal time just listening to him talk about how he wanted his music to be done. But it was important because at the end, I think our dress rehearsal, everything started coming together.
That's good. It was a dress rehearsal.
And we had some people still playing in cut time when it was supposed to be in four. It was a little chaotic. And then finally, when we had our dress rehearsal run through at Carnegie, it just sounded like everything was so perfect. So, I mean, this was a big undertaking for the Altino brothers. I don't even want to know how much the cost of a Carnegie Hall rental was, but the orchestra alone was close to $100,000. 70 musicians, 4 rehearsal plus concert. Roughly $100 per rehearsal per musician. So it was a big undertaking, but even the week of rehearsal, the weather was so bad. It was so cold, raining. I had such a hard time finding parking space in Manhattan. There was a lot of things that could have gone wrong, but Lord make sure we had a good turnout. Around 2,500 people came out for a concert hall that sits about 28. So we were pretty happy.
As you're talking, I see so many analogies to leadership as far as coming with everyone with their own ideas. And Maestro Choi is showing me a full front page of the Herald Mail Lifestyle newspaper, having a moment at Carnegie Hall. And what a moment it was. So you had a week of practice, and then... now, do you have this on your website that our listeners could go and read it?
No, but it's on my Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they can check out your Facebook page to learn more about this. Yes, and as I was saying, the analogy of, you know, any type of organization, the leader comes in and has to kind of pull together people who are playing in different times and different time signatures, and people have different ideas. And there was one story that came through the grapevine, so to speak, to me. And I wondered if you'd share that about someone who you invited to the concert who had told you a long time ago, if you ever get to play in Carnegie Hall, let me know, or I want a ticket or something like that. Was this just gossip that I heard?
No, it's true. My high school ESL teacher told me when I was in high school, because she knew I was interested in music and I was interested in becoming a conductor. So she had asked me, if you ever become famous, you know, remember me. And I actually tracked her down and I called, left a message. Come to find out, her husband was near death situation. And later found out her son had called me to let me know that his mother was going through grieving times. And so I said, you know, ask her if she's still interested in going to Carnegie Hall. And she did mention that she was interested. And so even, you know, a couple of weeks before, I kept calling and said, hey, you know, what's your address? I want to send you the ticket. And I think it was day before or two, I called her again and she said that, you know, something had come up or something and she wasn't able to go. I felt bad because, you know, she was looking forward to that. But I guess she didn't really have a peace of mind. You know, she just, I don't know what was going on. She probably just didn't want to see people. I'm not sure. I kept my promise.
Yeah. I mean, that does speak volumes. Of course, we would have liked to have heard a happy ending to it. But life happens. We do go through grieving times. And our best intentions of honoring our students don't always come to fruition. But it still was a good story to know that you took the time to go back to a former teacher. I love that. Well, we have to take a break right here. But when we come back, I want to talk to our listeners specifically about giving them advice and strategies to helping their young people with music. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. welcome back. I'm here with Maestro Choi, and we have been discussing the wonderful leadings of God in your life concerning your conducting career. He works currently at Highland View Academy and does a wonderful job with the music department there in Hagerstown, Maryland. In addition, though, you have continued to develop your own conducting prowess by going and being guest conductors at different places, and the last one was Carnegie Hall. Do you have another one on the horizon that you've been invited to?
Well, shortly after I came back from Carnegie Hall, I was invited to be one of the guest conductors at Murray State University. So I was actually gone parts of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But that's a different guest conducting altogether compared to what I had done in Carnegie Hall. This was a state university putting a music festival together for elementary, middle school, and high school kids. So there were several hundred students that came. It was broken up on a different level. I had the privilege of conducting middle school students. It wasn't the same level as Carnegie Hall, obviously. We had a good time, and I have a couple of others that are on the horizon, not quite fully materialized yet. Have a guest conduct possibilities in Brazil, hopefully 2017, because it would have been 2016, but the dollar and the Brazilian money exchange was so high that this year was not good for them, but they're looking to invite me at an Adventist university in Brazil.
Well, I mean, it's phenomenal. You speak Portuguese.
Correct. I lived in Brazil. My father was a missionary there. It's nothing new for me because once I get there, I can speak the language. Mm-hmm. So that's an opportunity that waiting to be finalized. I have another opportunity in Montemorelos.
Mm-hmm. And you speak Spanish.
I speak Spanish, which we're working through some hurdles there. I have another guest conducting in Brazil, another. It's a Methodist University Youth Orchestra, and I've known the conductor for a while. We actually met one of the international conducting workshops. And so possibility, another guest conducting in Jalisco, Mexico, which is another big town after Mexico City. I have some friends that have heard after my conducting debut at Carnegie Hall and have contacted me and trying to set some things up. And I told them, you know, I will show up when things are set for me to conduct, but I don't want to get involved with organization process putting it all together because it really needs to be done by people local.
Right, and you have enough responsibilities here. Okay, so I promised our listeners that you'd give us some words of advice that we're talking to a family that has some children that, you know, love to bang on pots and pans and sing a lot, and they want to help their child at this early age to start developing their musical gifts. So what would you recommend would be the first step they should do?
Well, first of all, I would recommend parents to seek professional assistance. Instead of just allowing the students or the kids just bang on the drum set. You know, some parents make that mistake of just purchasing drum set right away. Maybe perhaps starting with Suzuki violin, or when they are 4 or 5 year old, start with a piano lesson so that they get the foundation. They get in a habit of reading notes. They understand the rhythm. Then maybe, you know, doing something with drums or something later on when they're in, you know, middle school, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. Because often the parents makes mistakes just buying the guitar for the kids. But then the kids just don't know what to do with the guitar.
Yeah.
Or people say, well, you can just, you know, look at the chart and then learn on your own. It doesn't really happen until they continue to have weekly lessons.
Yeah, so that saying, practice makes perfect, it needs to be perfect practice. In other words, they need to be practiced correct technique.
Correct.
And in the correct, even with wind instruments.
Correct.
You can't just give them a trumpet.
Correct. This is what I tell my students. Practice is what you do at home. Practice is what you work on fixing difficulties you have in the music. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you play a song and continue to make the same mistake on same place, then that's not practice. You need to fix that problem. And then rehearsal is something you put together when everyone comes back having practiced their music and they know their music. Then we put it together to make a beautiful mm-hmm. music.
And so you mentioned that you started piano at probably too late in life. So what would be the best age to start?
10 years old, had a great interest in music, and I enjoy piano. But I want to say around second or third year of my piano playing, my teacher gave me a music that was far more difficult. And she said that, oh, you're doing so well. I'm going to give you this sonatina, mm-hmm. this, Clemente, Scarlatti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started getting stressed out because it wasn't fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you can do it. And looking back, I just think that my teacher probably bypassed about 2 years worth of music that I should have learned. And what I try to do with my own students, instead of skipping through books, I go through a method book from beginning mm-hmm. to the end, and then I go to the next level mm-hmm. because I don't want to make the same mistake that my teacher had made mm-hmm. just because I was doing so well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was overwhelmed. And looking back, if I just had more fun with the piano, mm-hmm. then I probably kept up playing the piano. Mm-hmm. But, when you're trying to learn piano, you got 10 fingers plus pedal and two staff, and mm-hmm. I just was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to play trumpet. But then after I started learning the trumpet, I wanted to conduct and then realized, oh my goodness, the conductor score has more lines to read.
A lot more than piano.
A lot more lines than the piano. So, I think piano is a really good instrument to mm-hmm. start. Obviously, Suzuki mm-hmm. violin, Suzuki cello is another route. With my own son, we started violin before he turned 4 because he was bored. He wanted mm-hmm. to do something, and we felt like, that would have been perfect. And then when he started kindergarten, and we started piano lessons with him. So every parent has choice and what they want to do with their kids.
Well, thank you so much. Our time is up, and we've appreciated you spending it with us. We just want to encourage everyone to do something with music because it's a universal language. It is also very spiritual in nature. And so thank you. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.